Welcome. Inside Appalachia, I'm Jessica Lilly. While we're no stranger to flooding, June 23rd storms have ravaged parts of West Virginia on a historic level. Today, we bring you the voices from these hills. Like flood survivor Helen Hansen, a resident of Raynell, she was rescued by local volunteers.
The water was cold. It kept getting colder and colder. It was terrible, but the good Lord was with me.
Tragedy was avoided in Richwood, where native J.D. Estep helped to rescue almost 100 residents from a nursing and rehabilitation center.
I have never been more proud to be a Mountaineer or a citizen of West Virginia. People opened their yards, their homes, doing whatever we could do to get them out of that water.
And we'll hear from Carol Holmes, who says despite it all, she's staying in town.
I'm West Virginia tough and proud. Proud to be here. I don't want to live anywhere else.
Find out what it means to be West Virginia tough and more this week on this special episode of Inside Appalachia.
The rivers are swollen. We got a flood on our hands. Get out the buckets and the pots and the pans. Mama put the pictures in the old wooden boat. Billy get the baby in Mama's overcoat. There's high ground at Green by the old gristmill store. We can keep everybody dry if it don't rain no more. We got a flood on our hands. The rain's gonna keep coming down.
Welcome. Inside Appalachia, I'm Jessica Lilly. We're no stranger to flooding, but in West Virginia, some places are dealing with the aftermath of what some folks are calling the 1,000-year flood. It began with a rare event. A tornado touched down in Nicholas County, West Virginia, on the afternoon of Tuesday, June 21st. Rainstorms followed throughout the region, but nothing like what started to fall throughout a 22-county region on Thursday, June 23rd. By 7 that evening, the governor had declared a state of emergency in 44 counties. Within a tragic 24 to 36-hour period, at least 23 people had perished. Our family members, friends, neighbors, young and old. Thousands of homes were flooded, many of them destroyed. While the damage was widespread, experts say that without the Sutton Dam on the Elk River, the Summersville Dam on the Gauley, and the Bluestone Dam on the New, floods would have been even worse throughout southern West Virginia. Federal and state Homeland Security, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Red Cross, the National Guard, local fire departments, police units, volunteer groups, way too numerous to name, and individuals all jumped in to help rescue, feed, and shelter. On today's show, we're going to hear from the people and communities devastated by this flood and hear some harrowing stories. We'll start in White Sulphur Springs. The town in Greenbrier County saw some of the worst flood damage. The town is in the southeastern border of West Virginia, about 250 miles from Washington, D.C. Ashley Thomas of Fayetteville is one of the volunteers who was out all night rescuing people by boat in White Sulphur Springs.
Total annihilation. The whole town is in shambles.
Susie Rock says she and her friend were stranded for about 5 hours Thursday night in a two-story home in town. Susie says the waters rose too quickly for them to leave in their cars.
And it came up within 10 minutes it was up. And we walked into the house and it started coming in her house, and her cat was underneath the back porch, and we could hear him screaming, and we heard him drown. And my cat was in my house, so I imagine she's drowned too.
The two escaped floodwaters by climbing inside the bucket of a front-end loader that was operated by one of the local rescue teams. As Susie was being transported to a local shelter in downtown White Sulphur, she says there were scenes of chaos.
And the houses were floating by. I mean, these huge houses were just floating by. I'm going, there goes another house, there goes another house.
Susie was at an emergency shelter in town wearing a shirt somebody had given her and a blanket wrapped around her body because all of her clothes were damaged in the floods. She has no plans to rebuild her home. She says she doesn't have home flood insurance.
I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to have to rent a room over at one of the elderly apartments in Lewisburg.
Susie is one of thousands of people who don't have a place to live right now, and the economy in the region is taking yet another blow. One of the largest employers in Greenbrier County is the historic Greenbrier Resort. The hotel was built in the 1850s and housed the secret bunker for the United States Congress during the Cold War. Today, the once five-star ornate hotel is also coated in mud. The floods carved a path of destruction unseen in generations. The resort's owners say it may take a couple of months to reopen. Last week, 300 flood victims found shelter in the rooms, and the hotel was closed for business while it fed and sheltered the disaster refugees. The PGA Golf Tournament, the Greenbrier Classic that was scheduled to begin July 7th, is now canceled. Other events have also been affected by the flooding. The community of Alderson canceled what would have been the 55th annual 4th of July celebration. It's boasted on the webpage as West Virginia's largest Independence Day celebration. Meanwhile, up in the central part of the state, in the Nicholas County town of Richwood, rescue teams were having trouble getting into town as mudslides were pelting down the mountains. My colleague Kara Lofton of West Virginia Public Broadcasting was in Richwood Thursday night during search and rescue efforts. Kara took some truly compelling photographs from the scene. The next day, she described what she saw with West Virginia Public Broadcasting's executive director, Scott Finn.
So the roads are pretty bad. It took me about 4 hours to get from Charleston to Nicholas County. When I was about 3 miles out from Richwood, hit a mudslide that completely obscured the road. Waited for an hour, actually saw an ambulance on one side take a kid from Richwood who had to be carried over the mudslide to get out of town to the ambulance, to the hospital. I actually ended up getting a ride once I walked over the mudslide. State troopers were kind enough to take me down the mountain. When you get in, I mean, it's quiet. There's absolutely no power, only a few generators running. The town seemed real devastated, almost like a hurricane or something had hit.
You know, we've seen your pictures, spectacular pictures at wvpublic.org. It looks almost like there are these huge boulders that are in the middle of the main street. I mean, it's just a sign of the power of the water that rushed through town.
Yeah, so one of the things that really struck me is it actually churned up the road itself. So if you're going through the parking lot, some of that, actually, I think the one that was most shocking to me is at the school, you see pieces of the road in and around the sign and in the yard of the school. There's actually one point where a school window got completely blown out. And so there is just, so the classroom is totally exposed to the outside elements in another place. As we were driving out, you could see water still pouring down the steps of a house as it ran through the house and out into the street. They said it was several feet high in some homes and people had to be evacuated in town. But I spent most of my time at the Baptist church where they had evacuated the nursing home to, partially because I'm a health reporter and I was curious what that looked like. It was pretty shocking. They had done the best that they could do, but by the time I had gotten there, mudslides had cut off Richwood from both sides. So they're really on their own. About an hour or two before I got there, the Red Cross had been able to get through with cots. So they had nursing home residents. I mean, you're talking about, you know, really old, really sick people on pews and cots all throughout this church. And they're basically just waiting for the sun to rise so that they can move them to a more appropriate location.
Kara, I know you're a relatively new reporter. Had you ever seen flooding like this before?
I have never seen flooding like this before, and I've certainly never seen mudslides like this before that are hugely powerful. You see places where there was a camper and an ice machine, like the kind that you see out of a Go-Mart, that are just smashed together. I mean, the amount of force behind this, we are talking about fatalities, but I think it's a huge blessing that it hasn't been. There haven't been more fatalities than we've heard about.
You know, speaking of that, you talked a little bit about, you had a picture of a first responder and a baby. How did you, putting the baby into an ambulance, it looked like? Talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, so from what I heard, the kid had dislocated his elbow. The mom was able to get the kid up the mountain, but the ambulance was not able to get over the mud, obviously. So the first responder that you see carrying that kid, walks through the mudslide, and since I walked through it too, it's pretty deep. I mean, you know, you're looking at a foot maybe in places where you're going to sink down and it's not real steady.
And if you look at that photo, there's such tenderness in that man's eyes as he's carrying this little baby into the ambulance. Carol Lofton, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
By Friday afternoon, most of the water in Richwood had receded and people needed help. Traffic was steady inside City Hall where victims could find food, water, and some supplies. That's where I found Carol Holmes and her daughter.
Carol, did you get everything you need, honey? You know where we are. You need to come back.
Okay, if we get some, honey, I'll make sure that I get somebody to bring you one, okay?
Oh, I need a mop so
okay.
bad.
Okay, all right.
What you need?
She needs a mop.
I have one in my car.
Mop's about this big round, and I've got it wore out.
Okay, I've got one in my car. Okay,
I've got one for you. All right.
Was your home flooded, ma'am?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
How are you? Do you have people to help you sort of clean out?
My son and my grandson, we had to rip up the carpets, and there was water about this deep all the way through my house. All of it.
Mud everywhere.
I'm 75 years old, and I've never experienced this in my whole life. And it's rough. It's hard. I'm about to cry myself to death.
How long have you lived in that home?
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. And it's been flooded twice. Now I'm going to move.
Are you?
Yep.
Do you know where you're going to go?
Here somewhere in Richwood. Yeah. Up on a hill. I live by the river.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Were you there when the home started flooding?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you thinking when that happened?
Well, I was sitting in a rocking chair, and I had two little dogs, and I was talking on the phone to my grandson. And I said, "It is really raining here, Michael." And my other son came out, and he said, "Mom, look." And here I have a stone wall all around my house, and it just run right over top of the wall. Them great big tars that goes on tractors and everything was floating down in my yard. Had a big, beautiful garden. It's all gone.
Mm. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. But I'm still here. My kids are still here. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
I'm sure there were a lot of memories in that house. How do you feel about letting go of some of those places that those memories were?
You just have to sew it out and forget it. That's all you can do. I throw out stuff, like I sew a lot. I had to throw out a lot of cloth. And, I make quilts and everything. I just had to throw it away. Nothing you can do.
They say that Richwooders are tough as knots, he said. Do you think that's true?
I am, I'll tell you that. I am, I'm tough. I'm brought up tough. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wish you the best. Thank you for sharing your story. And I hope you get that mop.
Oh, me too. I need a mop so bad.
In the midst of the chaos of people coming in and out to get supplies, water, and food, Carol's daughter steps over to explain that the family is no stranger
to tough
mountain. Times.
It didn't get me, but, she's worked hard all of her life. She's had a rough life. And what she had was special.
She's had a rough life.
Don't cry. Can't help it. It's sad. I manage. I raised five kids by myself. Well, six kids. I raised a grandson, too. Yeah, I'm West Virginia tough.
Yeah, she is.
How you go?
She is a tough woman.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. West Virginia tough and proud. Proud to be here.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too.
I don't want to live anywhere else. No way.
Is it hard to stay here sometimes?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, honey. But I had the prettiest garden and flowers. All gone, but, they're just things. It's hard. Hard.
She said you had a hard life. Was it raising five kids on your own?
Well, my husband drank a lot. Blacked my eyes every weekend. So, yeah, I did. But, you see, I raised him.
Yes, ma'am.
The oldest is 56 and the youngest is 48. You gotta have willpower. That's what you have to have. Just, you gotta do it, and you do it. You know? Yeah.
Where does your strength come from to pull out of those things?
My mom was old when I was born, and my dad. And I was the youngest of 10 kids. And I just, I saw my brothers and sisters go through stuff, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my own. And I did. And I did. Yeah. None of my kids are in jail or nothing. I think I've done a good job.
And I can tell she does, too.
She does. They all do. They're all just like her.
I didn't mean to keep you again. Thank you so much.
Oh, honey, I don't care to talk to you. You're
thank
so nice.
You. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. It's about hot. Oh, it's hot in here.
It is hot in here.
Goodness.
It is. And dark. Just outside of City Hall, things were calm but busy. That's where I met up with Richwood native Alan Rose. So where are we standing and what are we looking at?
Okay, right now we're standing in the City Hall parking lot. Right now we're looking over at the Cherry River Plaza. And that's it's got our Dollar General. It once had our Foodland, our Rite Aid pharmacy. And it was pretty swamped. The water was supposed to be really deep in there. They're saying it's going to be a little while until they're able to open again. And that's pretty much our main source of groceries and food for the area. Otherwise, we have to go all the way to Walmart. That's a 24-mile drive one way. So you can imagine that'll be pretty rough.
So you said that's a Rite Aid and a Dollar General, which is your main food source, and the water came in from that side?
Yes, the river is just on the other side of that, past the high school. I can show you that later. And it just cascaded through the parking lot. You can see the water line here under the Foodland sign. It looks to be at least 3 feet high from here.
Emergency officials were setting up floodlights to prepare for the evening. Like so many places across the state, the town of Richwood was left without water, electricity, and even phone lines. Residents say water came gushing into the valley from the mountains on Thursday, turning over fences and leaving a thick layer of mud on everything, even the high school football field. That's where I found 14-year-old Hannah Addington.
I live in Nettie, which is right beside Richwood, and I've went to Richwood since sixth grade. And it's really devastating.
Hannah is a cheerleader and plans to cheer for the Lumberjacks in her first year of high school this fall. While standing in front of a broken gate to the Richwood High School athletic field, Hannah explains that she was in Greenbrier County when the floods hit.
And we talked to a guy up there and he said, I'm not going to tell you all what to do, but if it was me, I'd get out. And so when we tried to get out, White Sulphur was closed because the bridge there had flooded, so there was no possible way to get out. And then when we tried to get back to our camp, the road back to our camp was flooded. So we were stuck in a 2-mile stretch to drive back and forth for a long time.
Richwooders, as they call themselves, are no stranger to flooding. According to a website called Richwooders.com, in 1954, a flood washed away cars, damaged homes, and businesses. They called it the Superflood. Let's listen to a recording of Gene Ward, taken right after the flood. It's a little hard to hear since it was recorded back in 54, but we wanted to share because the woman explains that it was difficult to be heard from Richwood as she called for help.
I contacted Washington. Contacted Charleston, and our wives kept breaking up so badly that I didn't know whether they were going to be able to help us or not, but they assured me that they would do what they can, and then our wire went off, and from then on it was just up to them.
Being able to communicate is something that many of us take for granted, but even today it is kind of hard to be heard from Richwood since cell service is kind of spotty. Still, the images from 1954 are similar to the flood this year. But word did spread much faster in 2016, thanks to the internet and social media. Former Councilman Jeremy Rose was quick to take a few pictures and post to his Facebook page. The images showed floodwaters blanketing the town of Richwood. And in town, the water carried debris through alleys and even gushed into the Nicholas County Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Alan Rose showed us around the outside of the building where sandbags, abandoned wheelchairs, and thick mud rippled in the parking lot. Alan volunteered to help with the evacuation of the almost 100 residents.
We had the buses coming in, filling them up, and it got to the point where there was no room on the buses, so we had to pull people out onto the grassy bank just above that wall there, probably a good 15 or 20 people we had to pull up and over that hillside, lifting wheelchairs above our heads with water up to our waist, debris like you see here, just flowing down the alleyway.
Now, we're talking about people who are strapped to wheelchairs, elderly, many of them immobile.
What kind of things were they saying to you as you were helping them?
Oh, many people were panicked about water. Some people spoke about childhood memories of floods of the past. Many people, the biggest complaint was, I can't swim. Yeah. And
what would you say to them? They'd say, I can't swim, I can't swim. And you'd say, what would you say?
Oh, I would tell them, we're not swimming. I'm big enough to float for both of us, you know. No, we're just waiting. It's a free swim for Richwood, you know. And most of the jokes and everything that all the volunteers were using helped calm people down more than denial of the situation. You get them smiling and everything, and that really calms people down.
The nursing home evacuation happened on Thursday, before the National Guard arrived. My colleagues and I drove through other parts of Richwood and found the park and Little League field still soaked and holding water. In town, a thick layer of mud squished around my rain boots as I turned to take a picture. And as a car rolled past me, I recognized the man driving. He smiled on the double take when he realized it's me, a familiar face. It was J.D. Estep, a former classmate at school. He whipped his car around and pulled in beside me to give me a hug. He was one of the workers who helped with the evacuation. He explained that he was proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with his neighbors to help his residents.
I have never been more proud to be a Mountaineer or a citizen of West Virginia than I was in the middle of that disaster. People opened their yards, their homes. Wherever we could put residents, that's where they put them. They were out there helping us, getting them across the road, doing whatever we could do to get them out of that water. It was horrifying and incredible.
We keep hearing that story. It's kind of what us Mountaineers is what we do.
Absolutely. For the last 2 days, I just keep hearing John F. Kennedy over and over in my head. The sun might not always shine on West Virginia, but its people always do. And unfortunately, it takes a disaster to remind us of that, but that spirit never goes away. And as soon as someone you know is in need, everybody is there. And you can't put a price on that. It's invaluable.
So I take it that's what you like most about living here,
yeah.
The people.
You can't buy that. You can have all the money in the world, and if your neighbors aren't going to help you, then you're literally up a creek, you know?
And at the same time, you know, we were talking before about the revitalization efforts here in Richwood. You know, there's a question of whether or not Richwood will be able to rebuild, if there's going to be an energy to rebuild, but you know, some of that was already in motion. What do you think? Do you think Richwood can rebuild?
I think that the citizens of Richwood want more than anything to see this community back to what it used to be. At one time, this was one of the biggest places in this whole state you could come to. There were shops here, but that was when mining was big. For the last 20 years, there's been a conversation about revitalizing this community, and steps have been taken. We've got some of the most beautiful murals you've ever seen painted on old buildings that have been gone into disuse. There are sculpture gardens. There are little planters everywhere. It's like the people have tried. The problem is you have a generational divide. You have people in my demographic and younger, 35 and below, who are full of energy and full of ideas and ready and willing and wanting to do something. But then you have the older generation who has money, who has power. They're happy with the way things are, and they're not in a hurry to change them because they're okay. And that is the reality of Richwood. We would love to see all of this cleaned up and revitalized and brought back to life, but we don't have that control. Citizens of Richwood don't control this economy.
The nursing home was one of the main employers of Richwood. The parent company, Platinum Healthcare, LLC, is based in Illinois. I checked back in with J.D. a few days later. He says he plans to move out west to look for a job. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to travel to Greenbrier County, where we hear about two children who were stuck on the opposite side of the floodwaters from their family. You're Inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly.
I feel the shadows now upon me, and red angels beckon me. Before I go, dear Christian brother, won't you come and sing for me? Sing those hymns we sang together, that plain little church with the benches all worn. How dear to my heart, how precious the moment we stood shaking hands and singing our song. My burden is heavy, my way has grown weary. I have traveled a road that is long, and it would ease this poor heart, dear brother, if you'd come and sing one song. Sing those hymns we sang together, that plain little church with the benches all worn. How dear to my heart, how precious the moment we stood shaking hands and singing our song.
We just heard a story of heroism as workers and volunteers rescued close to 100 nursing and rehabilitation residents from floodwaters. This next story is about how floodwaters separated children from family. In western Greenbrier County, part of Route 60 near Rupert was completely submerged underwater during the flood. For over 24 hours, 3-year-old Layla and her 1.5-year-old brother Landon were separated from their family. Roxy Todd was there Friday afternoon as the story was unfolding.
Sandra Cox was at work on Thursday when the storms hit, and her grandchildren were with their babysitter in Rupert. The road back to Rupert became impassable, and the children's babysitter's home was flooded. They relocated to a safer location, but the children still didn't have their family back. To make matters worse, the babysitter started having asthma attacks. Stuck on the other side of the water, Sandra didn't know what to do.
And they're just scared and crying and wondering where Nana's at and Mommy and everybody.
Sandra's brother-in-law, Kevin, spoke with the National Guard rescuer who is helping residents across the water.
She wants to make sure that y'all hang on to them, take care of them.
Oh, we got jackets. We got jackets that'll fit them. We need to go. Nope.
We'll get them.
I got guys back here with them.
The enormous truck took off through the water, searching for the toddlers. An hour later, two National Guardsmen brought a truckload of about 10 people across the floodwaters. One of them climbed out of the truck carrying two frightened children, Layla and Landon, and handed them to their grandmother, Sandra Cox.
I'm glad you got them back.
Oh, thank you.
How does it feel?
I am too. It feels awesome.
There were other tearful reunions at the waterside. About 30 evacuees spent the evening grilling out at a makeshift shelter at Amwell Baptist Church. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Greenbrier County.
Tragically, not everyone was rescued. Of the 23 deaths that have been reported at this point, a 4-year-old boy drowned Thursday night in Jackson County. The boy's body was found the next morning. Clark Davis reported from the scene.
Rescue officials from Ravenswood, Jackson County, the West Virginia Division of Natural Resources, and other surrounding areas came to Ravenswood Friday morning with the hope of finding the 4-year-old boy.
Heavenly Father, we come to thee this morning, dear God in heaven. We humbly pray for you, dear God in heaven, that you watch over the emergency workers, dear God in heaven, as they go through this task.
Groups split up, checking along Utah Creek, where the boy first went into the water. They also investigated the area where Utah empties into Sandy Creek. After searching for a couple of hours, the body was found. Bobby Bibby is the public information officer for the Ravenswood Fire Department.
And we started at Sand Creek with the crew coming back inland. And from the last point they saw him yesterday, we started a crew. Hopefully they meet him in the middle. And one of the crews on the Utah side found him in the creek that was last seen.
Bibby said the body was found about 200 yards from where he entered the water. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Clark Davis.
On Saturday, President Obama had issued a federal disaster declaration for 3 counties, though the designation would eventually extend to 10 counties. At this point, many West Virginians were still just trying to process the trauma of the flood and all that had been lost.